as it comes in. Obviously, it's going to be sketchy for some time because you can imagine what is happening to every circuit, radio and telephone between the East Coast and Dallas, Texas at this moment. Obviously, the circuits are jammed. The information that we have, this is no time, obviously, for speculation. Facts are all that are warranted. Here is something else. It was impossible to tell at once where Kennedy was hit, but bullet wounds in Governor Conley's chest were plainly visible, indicating the gunfire might possibly have come from an automatic weapon.
There is this, Chet. Representative Albert Thomas, a member of the House of Representatives, said he was informed that President Kennedy and Governor Conley are both still alive after having been shot in an assassination attempt. This is from Dallas. It is the first word we have that they are, in fact, still alive. It is the first thing definitive that we have. As we say, we can give you only as much as we have. It is that both men were wounded by an assailant or assailants. It's not known who did it or why. And it was also reported from Dallas that it was not determined whether the Secret Service and Dallas police returned the gunfire that hit the president and the Texas governor. There is no word that the assailants have been captured or cited, probably because the focus of attention now, understandably, is on the president and not so much on those who committed this act.
I have some additional information here, Bill, which would indicate that the Secret Service men guarding the president had no chance to return fire. This item says, reporters about five car lengths behind the chief executive heard what sounded like three bursts of gunfire. Secret Service agents in a follow-up car quickly unlimbered their automatic rifles. The bubble top of the president's car was down. They drew their pistols, but the damage was done. The president was slumped over in the back seat of the car, face down. Then Governor Conley, after slumping to the left for a moment, lay on the floor of the rear seat.
More chat on the quote from Congressman Thomas. He is outside the corridor of the emergency room in which the president and Governor Conley are under treatment. He said he had been told the president was still alive, but, quote, in very critical condition. That from Congressman Albert Thomas, a Texas Democrat, who was in the hospital, Parkland Hospital in Dallas, Texas, where President Kennedy and Governor Conley of Texas have been taken after having been wounded in an apparent assassination attempt.
We are expecting momentarily a telephone call. That's why I'm seated here, this telephone here from NBC's Robert McNeil, who is with the president's party. Understanding that Rob is trying to get through a telephone and get through to us on this special lineup now. Perhaps at that time we'll be able to get more details on what the situation is at the moment, and perhaps some of these questions about what happened earlier can be answered for us.
In terms, Frank, of locating where it happened, a reporter, the AP man, Jack Bell, says the president and Governor Conley were shot as the motorcade entered a triple underpass, which leads to a freeway. They were leaving Dallas. Bell said a man and a woman were scrambling on the upper level of a walkway which overlooked the underpass. Also significant, the president's bubble top car, the bubble was down at the time this happened. There is nothing yet to indicate that this man and woman were in any way connected with the attack. They have sent out from Parkland Hospital a call for top surgical specialists in Dallas and also a call for a Roman Catholic priest. But again, the best information we have now is that the president is still alive, but a member of Congress who is outside the emergency room where the president is being treated at Parkland Hospital in Dallas, Texas, says he has been told that the president is in very critical condition.
You reported, I think, most of this substantially earlier. Here is an AP reporter asked Kenny O'Donnell, the presidential assistant, if Kennedy were dead. O'Donnell gave no answer. Kennedy was taken to Parkland Hospital near the Dallas Trademark, where he was to have made a speech. The AP reporter said Kennedy was transferred to an ambulance. He lay on a seat of the car, blood streaming. Bell reported three shots were fired as the motorcade entered the triple underpass, which leads to the Stemmons Freeway route to Parkland Hospital. The Secret Service waved the motorcade on at top speed to the hospital. Even at high speed, it took nearly 5 minutes to get the car to the ambulance entrance of the hospital. Reporters saw the president lying flat on his face in the car. The AP reporter said a man and a woman were scrambling on the upper level of a walkway overlooking the underpass. Larry O'Brien, the presidential aide, says he has no information on whether the president is still alive. Mrs. Kennedy was weeping and trying to hold up her husband's head when reporters reached the car.
I think it might be pointed out in that last report from Dallas, the calling in of surgical specialists and a priest, that this is routine in a situation like this. If a Catholic is in critical condition, the summoning of a priest does not necessarily mean that the illness or the affliction will be terminal, that death is necessarily near. It is merely a precaution. Again, the best word we have is that both President Kennedy and Texas Governor John Connally are still alive. They are receiving treatment in a hospital emergency room in Dallas, Texas, at the Parkland Hospital, where the two men were taken after being wounded in an assassination attempt today. The report is that the president is in very critical condition. We have no more than that. You can appreciate that we would not have, because the prime concern of everyone now is to treat the president and the governor for their wounds and to save their lives if possible.
Bill, if I may suggest, as you and Chet have been so busy bringing the bulletin information to the audience, of course, a great many people are not aware of the earlier details of the story, and radio and television sets have been going on all around the country. So I wonder if, for their benefit as well as for mine, I'm getting in on it late, that you could reconstruct what we know from the top in chronological order, insofar as you have those details.
Well, basically, Frank, of course, the president was on this two-day trip to Texas, making a series of speeches. It was said that one of his missions in Texas was to try and coalesce the divergent wings of the Democratic Party. He had made a speech in Fort Worth, Texas, which is, I think, about 25 or 30 miles from Dallas. He then moved to Dallas and was about to make a speech, was on his way to another site of a speech in Dallas, or just on the fringes of the city.
This was a motorcade?
It was a motorcade, and it was moving with, as has been reported, the bubble top of the presidential car down. This may have been a tragic mistake. But all we know is that at roughly 12:45 or so, the shots were fired.
Central Standard Time.
I think it would have been Dallas time. Yes, it would have been Dallas time. It has happened within the past
20 minutes. Right?
Yes, within the past 20 minutes or so. The president was headed for another speech, and the motorcade was moving along on this freeway, going under a ramp of another freeway when the attack took place.
Here is some information on a speech which he apparently had just made before being shot. President Kennedy lashed out today at those he said who confuse rhetoric with reality. Speaking in an area where supporters are booming Senator Barry Goldwater's chances for the 1964 Republican nomination, Kennedy said that ignorance and misinformation, if allowed to prevail in foreign policy,
yes, we will,
handicaps this country's security.
This is NBC News. Put Mr. McNeil on, please. This is Robin McNeil, our correspondent, who has been traveling.
Hello, Bob. Bob, are you there? This is Frank McGee. Bob, I'm in 5HN. We are on the air. You take it from the top, Bob, and tell us everything that you know, if you would please, in chronological order. Starting at the very top, unless you have some late information on the president's condition.
Frank, I'm informed you'll have to repeat that we're not hearing.
Bob, I'm sorry, we're having some difficulties with our communication here, and apparently your broadcast, the early part of it, did not get on the air. Would you begin again? Yes, go again, please, Bob.
They're not getting the other end of the conversation.
Bob, I'm sorry. I tell you what, let's do it this way. You speak slowly, and I'll repeat what you say. All right, this is Robert McNeil reporting from Dallas. Now, please go ahead, Bob. Bob is at the hospital in Dallas, where the president has been rushed. The president is seriously wounded. This information comes from Texas Senator Ralph Yarbrough, who was with the president. The shots which wounded the president occurred as the motorcade was running through huge crowds in downtown Dallas. The governor of Texas, John Connally, was also hit. The Texas governor was sitting on the far side of the car, across from the president. Mrs. Kennedy, who was seated between them, was not wounded. The shots apparently came from a window in a building overlooking the parade route. But about one street back from it, shielded by some trees. Police, who immediately fanned out around the area, interviewed several witnesses who said they saw a man with a gun in the window. Bob informs me that he was in the motorcade. He says he was able to hear the shots. They stopped, and as the shots rang out, people lining the streets screamed and lay down on the sidewalk and in the street. The motorcade immediately speeded up. And rushed the president straight to the Parkland Memorial Hospital from which you're speaking now, Bob. And the president was carried in bleeding. Bob, have you any information on how many times or where the president was struck? Bob does not know how many times or where the president was struck. All he knows is this president was seriously wounded, and that is the latest information that they have.
Think about what you're going to say when you go on in.
He heard three shots. Another reporter at the scene says he heard four. Turning to the Texas governor, Bob, can you tell us how many times or where he may have been? I see, Bob. Now, one further question. Can you tell us anything about the man who was seen with the gun in the window? Has he been placed under a...
Put the phone on.
They say that he was a white man.
Go ahead. Put the phone on.
There were a lot of Negro people around, but the man seen in the window was a white man. What kind of gun was it, Bob? Was it a rifle? A policeman has told Bob that the policeman heard that it was a high-powered rifle, but there's been no confirmation of that. Just a moment, Bob. Please stand by.
Hold on to Bob. I think we have a gadget here, Frank.
Put the receiver on that, Frank, and apparently it will function as a speaker. And let Bob talk.
Bob, I'm told that this little thing I've just attached to the telephone... Bob, could you say a few words for us? You're still there. Now, is this being broadcast, what is saying there now?
That's right.
I see. Yep. Bob, I'll tell you what, I realize that you're in a terrible position. You cannot get information as long as you're on the phone, but do you think you would be better advised to remain on the phone or to break the connection and get back in touch with us? Your judgment.
I think I would be better advised.
Yes, Bob. This is being heard, what he is saying.
Yes,
from over this microphone here.
What's your job, Bob?
Hello?
Yes, Bob.
I have a medical student here. We're going to hold his line open for me.
All right.
And if you'll just chat with him, I'll ask somebody else to chat with him until I come back in about 5 minutes.
That's fine, Bob. We'll be expecting you, and I'll keep the phone and be talking with the student. We'll know when we come back. Thank you, Bob, very much.
Frank, to interrupt for a moment, there is this from Dallas. While Robin McNeil is on the phone, of course, he is unable to gather information. President Kennedy has been given blood transfusions at Parkland Hospital in an effort to save his life after he and Governor John Connally of Texas were shot in an assassination attempt. The word still is that the president is in very serious condition. Other reports say he is in critical condition. Governor John Connally, I think, Chet, has been moved, has he not?
Yes, we have this information which adds up to something rather inconclusive. It says the Secret Service said the president remained in the emergency room and the governor was moved to the general operating room of Parkland Hospital. One Secret Service man was overheard telling another that there was no need to move the president because emergency facilities were entirely adequate in the emergency room. That would indicate just sort of a snap judgment evaluation that Governor Conley was worse wounded than the president. But as I say, that is only a snap judgment evaluation.
Or it could mean, Chet, that they are separating the two cases so that each can be given full attention.
Right.
The medical student who is on the line with me says he can see outside a window and that a sizable crowd has gathered outside the hospital. This telephone line, by the way, is connected to the hospital of... What is the name of the hospital?
Parkland Memorial.
Parkland Memorial Hospital in Dallas, Texas, where the president and the governor have been taken. And NBC's Robert McNeil is getting the latest information now and should be getting back on the line with us very shortly.
Again, to repeat, the president and Governor John Conley have been wounded. They were both shot as they rode in a motorcade through Dallas. And each is in serious condition, to the best of our knowledge. But there is no more definitive word than that. We may get some now. We are going to switch to station WBAP-TV, Fort Worth, Dallas, and to newsman Charles Murphy.
Just moments ago, authorities in Dallas took a young man into custody.
Which was really never held. Is that...
As you can appreciate, communication facilities, as you just saw, went in and out. This is a time of what would probably best be described as controlled panic. The arrangements for that switch to Fort Worth were made entirely hastily under conditions of extreme pressure, and that is why the picture came and the audio didn't, and then when the picture dropped, the audio came in. Again, to recap, to the best of our knowledge at this moment, both President Kennedy and Texas Governor John Conley have been wounded by an assassination attempt in Dallas, Texas. They were moving in a motorcade through a downtown section of the city. NBC's Robert McNeil has reported from the scene, and he was riding in the motorcade, that Mrs. Kennedy was not injured, although she was riding in the car with the president and Governor Conley sitting between them. Each was hit. There are reports that a white man was seen at the window of a building about a block away from the cars. There are other reports that a man was seen with a high-powered rifle. There is no indication yet that whoever fired the shots at the president and the Texas governor has been found. The word from Parkland Memorial Hospital is that President Kennedy is being treated in an emergency room of the hospital, that he has received blood transfusions, that he is in critical condition, but alive. There is no word on how many times he was struck by bullets or where he sustained the wounds. Now, we are going to attempt once more to return to station WBAP-TV, Fort Worth, Dallas, and newsman Charles Murphy.
There is no definite word yet that the person who fired the shots at President Kennedy and Governor Conley in Dallas has been apprehended. We have just received this report, though. Moments ago, authorities took a young man into custody. They took him to the county sheriff's office near the Triple Overpass, near where the shooting occurred. The man was neatly dressed. He's in his early 20s. He is protesting vehemently his innocence, and he says that he has witnesses to prove that he is innocent. Two Roman Catholic priests have been summoned to the emergency room where the president is. A White House spokesman said someone had asked for the priest, but did not say whom. Blood transfusions have been administered to President Kennedy. Governor Conley has been moved to the general operating room. Repeating, just moments ago, authorities have taken a young man into custody in Dallas, but there is no definite word that this is the person who might have fired the shots at President Kennedy and Governor Conley. Charles Murphy reporting from WBAP-TV, Fort Worth, Dallas.
These additional details from the hospital in Dallas, officials at the hospital say the president has been given a transfusion of B-positive blood. They are calling for fresh blood of that type to have it ready if additional transfusions were needed. Mrs. Lyndon Johnson, the wife of the vice president, was escorted by Secret Service agents into the emergency room where the president is being treated. Now for Washington reaction to this tragic story, we go to NBC News Washington and David Brinkley.
Bill, there isn't a great deal as yet because obviously the news has just got here. It was taken to Congress, which of course recessed immediately to wait to see what has happened. We've checked with the White House, which has told us it doesn't know any more than we know, and in fact has been listening to us to see what it could find out. The president's brother, Edward Kennedy, Teddy Kennedy, was on the floor of the Senate and was informed of the news by the Senate Democratic leader, Senator Mike Mansfield. The only word beyond that we have is that Senator Kennedy didn't know at the moment whether he would go to Texas or not. Beyond that, again, there is no particular or unexpected reaction here yet because most of Washington has just found out about it and is shocked and stunned along with everyone else. The White House, again, has no more information at the moment than we have. We'll stay here, of course, ready to bring you any at the moment it arrives. In the meantime, we'll switch back to you, Chet, Frank, Bill.
Thank you, David. This seems tangential and hardly important, but it is reported. The stock exchange closed operations after word of the attempt on President Kennedy's life, and the cotton and wool exchanges also closed.
I see.
Now, we are returning to Dallas-Fort Worth to station WBAP-TV and newsman Tom Whalen. Again, experiencing difficulties. We will, however, make the switch when we can. Here, again, is what we know so far. President Kennedy has been wounded in an assassination attempt. He is reported in very serious and critical condition. He has been given a blood transfusion. He is being treated at Parkland Memorial Hospital in Dallas, Texas, where the attack took place. There are reports in Dallas that a young man has been taken into custody, but there are no indications that he has been charged with anything. He is insisting he had nothing to do with the attempt on the president's life.
Yes, sir.
Now, for late details, we go to newsman Tom Whalen at WBAP-TV, Fort Worth.
This is Tom Whalen in Fort Worth. WBAP newsman James Darnell in Dallas on the scene of the presidential shooting, the shooting in which President Kennedy and Governor Connally were shot, has an eyewitness interview with a Mrs. G. Hill. Here is the interview.
What is your name, ma'am?
Jean Hill.
From Dallas?
That's right.
And did you see the shooting, miss?
Yes, sir.
Can you describe what happened?
Yes, sir.
Can you do that now?
They were driving along, and we were the only people in this area on our side, and the shots came from directly across the street from us. And just as the president's car became directly even with us, we took one look at him, and he was sitting there. He and Jackie were looking at a dog that was in the middle of the seat, and about that time, two shots rang out just as he looked up. This is the president looked up, and these two shots rang out, and he grabbed his chest, and it looked like he was in pain, and he fell over in the seat, and Jackie fell over on him and said, "My God, he's been shot." After that, more shots rang out, and the car sped away.
What kind of car was that?
What kind of a car was it? The president.
Oh, no, I mean, where did the shots come from?
The shots came from the hill.
From the hill?
Yes. It was just east of the underpass.
Uh-huh. And,
we were on the south side.
Could you see, did you look up there where the shots came from, ma'am?
Yes, sir.
Could you see anyone?
I thought I saw this man running, but I looked at the president. And, you know, for a while, and I looked up there, and I thought I saw a man running. And so, right after that, I guess I didn't have any better sense. I started running up there, too.
Uh-huh. And what is your name?
Jean Hill.
G-A-N?
J-E-I-N.
J-E-I-N. What's your address, Miss Hill?
9402 Bluff Creek.
9402 Bluff.
That was an interview I had with Mrs. Jean Hill of Dallas a few minutes ago. A short time later, Dallas sheriff's officers took a young man into custody. It's believed that they also took a rifle at the same time, described as a 30-30 rifle, which was supposedly found near the scene, although this has not been confirmed. And as we reported earlier, both Governor Connally and President Kennedy are in the emergency room. That is, the president is now. Governor Connally was moved to another room in the hospital. A Catholic priest was called to the emergency room a short time ago, and the president's condition is described as very critical. Representative Albert Thomas of Houston said both men were alive, however. This is Tom Whalen reporting from Fort Worth, Texas, concerning the shooting of President Kennedy and Governor Connally of Texas. Stay tuned to NBC for further details.
Now, Frank McGee has reestablished communications with Robert McNeil, who has been traveling with the president. Frank, your report from Robert.
Bob, if you will stand by just a moment until I attach this little device to the earpiece, and then I'll tell you when to go ahead. Please go ahead, Bob. Go ahead, Bob.
Last night, the Catholic Church have just been administered to
You can drop them. Drop the box, Frank.
They have it direct, they say. You can give Bob a go ahead.
He's gone.
He's gone.
And we're not getting it, so perhaps we better go back to the black box.
We're not getting it on a direct feed, Frank. We may have to return to that black box.
Bob, I'm sorry to interrupt, but we are again experiencing difficulties with the feed. So would you start at the top again, please, Bob, and I'll repeat you as I did the last time.
Freeway. We're heading for the freeway. That's what I mean.
The last rites of the Roman Catholic Church has been administered to President Kennedy, who is said to be seriously wounded in a Dallas hospital. After being shot at during a motorcade through the city.
Oh, did you get that face?
The rites were administered a few moments ago by Father Hubert. They do not necessarily mean that the president's condition is fatal. White House officials say the president's condition is still uncertain. He was carried into the hospital unconscious. From the car in which he and Governor John Connally of Texas were both shot at. Mrs. Jacqueline Kennedy, who was in the rear seat of the open car beside the president, was not hurt. Vice President Lyndon Johnson, who was with the president, walked into the hospital. Bob, let me interrupt. Was he in the same car? All right, please, go ahead. Walked into the hospital, holding his own arm. Just a moment, Bob. I'm going to interrupt for a bulletin that the Associated Press has moved from Dallas. Mrs. Lyndon Johnson said after a visit, yes, please go ahead then, Bob, who just emerged from the area where the president has been taken, said that her husband, the vice president, is fine. She would not say anything about the condition of President Kennedy, however. She appeared to be in a state of shock and was hurried away by White House personnel. The hospital is reported to be preparing a blood transfusion for both the president and Governor Connally. Bob is telling me that the latest he knows at the moment is that the president's condition is serious and uncertain. We do not know exactly where he was struck, nor how many times. But he was carried into the hospital.
Unconscious and bleeding.
Unconscious and bleeding.
And last rites of the church have just been administered. That's all for the moment, Frank.
And Bob tells me that's all for the moment. Bob?
Yeah.
If you can make the thing arranged by the
hand. There's this additional detail from the hospital. An assistant to Governor Connally said he talked to the governor in the hospital operating room. He said the governor was shot just below the shoulder blade in the back. The assistant, okay. Bill Stinson, said he asked the governor how it happened, and he said, I don't know. I guess from the back they got the president, too. These are quotes from Governor John Connally, who was also wounded. There are additional reports that the governor's aide asked the governor if there was anything he could do, and all the governor said was just take care of Nellie for me. That is Governor Connally's wife. She was uninjured. Also, Mrs. Kennedy was not injured. As Robert McNeil reported, the last rites of the Roman Catholic Church have been administered to the president, but this in no way indicates that it is expected that he will lose his life. And Chet has something more.
Director J. Edgar Hoover of the FBI has telephoned the Dallas FBI office, ordering an all-out investigation of the attempt today on the lives of the President and Governor John Connally of Texas, Here is an item. Both women, meaning Mrs. Kennedy and Mrs. Connolly, disappeared into the emergency section of Parkland Hospital to await news of their husbands. Outside the emergency room in a buff-walled hallway, anxious members of the White House staff gathered, including Major General Chester V. Clifton, military aide to the President, and Brigadier General Godfrey McHugh, the Air Force aide. Mrs. Evelyn Lincoln, the President's secretary, Pamela Tenure, press secretary to Mrs. Kennedy, and other members of the staff were shown to a special waiting room not far from the emergency room area where the President was lying. As Frank McGee has reported on direct word from our correspondent in Dallas, a crowd is gathering outside Parkland Hospital in Dallas.
Okay. There's also this, Chet, repeating what we got from Fort Worth, that sheriff's officers have taken a young man into custody and are questioning him, but there is no indication that any charges have been placed against him. There is no indication that he is directly involved in this attempt on the life of President Kennedy and Texas Governor John Conway.
Bill, I think we have a picture of the President and Mrs. Kennedy as they arrived in Dallas this morning, and I have some fragmentary copy on the first speech which the President delivered in Dallas. This is the picture of the President and Mrs. Kennedy.
I think the camera that has you, Chet, is the one that would have to get the picture.
I'll hold it up over here. This is the picture of the first family, or the President and Mrs. Kennedy, rather, arriving in Dallas only a couple of hours before the assassination attempt. The first speech that the President delivered in Dallas, speaking in an area where supporters are booming Senator Barry Goldwater's chances for the Republican nomination, the President said that ignorance and misinformation, if allowed to prevail in foreign policy, handicaps the country's security. This was a speech prepared for the Dallas Citizens Council, the Dallas Assembly, and the Graduate Research Center of the Southwest. He did not specifically mention Senator Goldwater by name. The President said, in a world of complex and continuing problems, in a world full of frustrations and irritations, America's leadership must be guided by the lights of learning and reason, or else those who confuse rhetoric with reality and the plausible with the possible will gain the ascendancy with their seemingly swift and simple solutions to every world problem.
Chet, there's also this. In Washington, the two president's brothers, his two brothers, Attorney General Robert Kennedy and his younger brother, Senator Edward Kennedy, are on their way to Andrews Air Force Base. They will fly to Dallas. Additional details from the hospital. Vice President Lyndon Johnson has not been injured in this attack on President Kennedy and Texas Governor Connolly. The Vice President is somewhere in the same hospital where the President is being treated, Parkland Memorial in Dallas. It is reported he is badly shocked by the shooting, that doctors are trying to keep him as quiet as possible, and that he is under heavy Secret Service and police protection. It's also noted that throughout the trip in Texas, when the President and the Vice President have been in the same motorcade, they have been kept in separate cars, a precaution against just such an attempt as was obviously made today. Chill.
I referred a moment ago and read an excerpt from the speech which President Kennedy delivered to a breakfast crowd this morning earlier. The breakfast crowd of 2,200 people rose in ovation after the speech, and a few minutes later, the President said he felt like he did in France 2 years ago when he identified himself as the man who accompanied Mrs. Kennedy to Paris. Do you have anything else, Frank?
Yes, it was just a, excuse me just a moment, John. It was just word from the hospital that they have dispatched a call for a neurosurgeon. I understand would indicate that one of the two had been hit in the head, would it not?
Or either the head or possibly some spinal damage. There is also this, understandably, in a situation like this, the information comes in fragments and comes from unexpected places and uncontrolled angles. Senator Ralph Yarborough, Texas Democrat, who was in a nearby car when the attack took place on the President, said he saw the President's lips moving at what he called a normal rate of speed while Mr. Kennedy was being rushed to the hospital.
How much it means, we do not know.
There's further word from the hospital, Bill, that they're trying to make arrangements as quickly as they can for a press conference where as much actual and detailed information as they have can be disseminated.
Now, there is word here, Frank, that at least one neurosurgeon has arrived at the hospital. I should imagine in a case such as this that virtually every medical specialist of any sort and description and capability would be called into the hospital so that all medical treatment would be available to the president. Chet?
In just this momentary lull, I would assume that the memory of every person listening at this moment is flashed back to that day in April 1945 when Franklin Delano Roosevelt...
Excuse me, Chet. Here is a flash from the Associated Press, Dateline Dallas. Two priests who were with President Kennedy say he is dead of bullet wounds. There is no further confirmation, but this is what we have on a flash basis from the Associated Press. Two priests in Dallas who were with President Kennedy say he is dead of bullet wounds. There is no further confirmation. This is the only word we have indicating that the president may, in fact, have lost his life. It has just moved on the Associated Press wires from Dallas. The two priests were called to the hospital to administer the last rites of the Roman Catholic Church, and it is from them we get the word that the president has died, that the bullet wounds inflicted on him as he rode in a motorcade through downtown Dallas have been fatal. We would remind you there is no official confirmation of this from any source as yet.
Bill, just moments before you brought the flash, I had word from the hospital that the Vice President, Lyndon Johnson, and his wife had just left the hospital, then rushed away into a motorcade and departed.
This, Frank, might be confirmation of the flash.
We must stand by for confirmation, as Bill has emphasized. This is rather sketchy information. We will stand by. We should have...
Now, there apparently is word that this AP flash, this report from the two priests, that the president has died of bullet wounds, is confirmed. We will attempt now to get to station WBAP-TV in Fort Worth, Dallas, for confirmation. We go to newsman Tom Murphy.
Substantiating this, but not confirming it, is a report about 5 minutes ago by the Dallas Police Department to all of its officers that the president had died. Some 3 to 5 minutes later, the AP flashed that two priests at the hospital say the president is dead. Charles Murphy, returning now to NBC in New York.
Word from two sources. Again, it is not...
Bill, excuse me. We have NBC's Bob McNeil on the line now with the report. Please go ahead, Bob. White House Press Secretary Malcolm Kilduff has just announced that President Kennedy died at approximately 1 o'clock Central Standard Time, which is about 35 minutes ago.
After being shot by an unknown assailant
during a motorcade drive through downtown Dallas.
The president died approximately 25 minutes after the attack took place. He had been rushed bleeding and unconscious to the Parkland Memorial Hospital in Dallas and was given blood transfusions. About 15 minutes ago, reports NBC's Bob McNeil from Dallas, to whom I'm talking now.
A priest emerged. After having given the president.
The last rites.
Just before the announcement of the president's death was made. Vice President Lyndon Johnson. Emerged grim-faced. And was driven away with a police escort. To assume. The constitutional responsibilities.
Of the presidency.
A casket. Has just been brought into the emergency ward. Of this hospital. For President Kennedy.
The attack took place.
As the president was just completing.
As the president was just completing.
What amounted to.
What amounted to.
A triumphal drive.
A triumphal drive.
Through downtown Dallas.
Through downtown Dallas.
Encountering the biggest.
Encountering the largest.
And in some ways the most friendly crowds.
And in some ways the most friendly crowds.
Of his two-day Texas tour.
Of his two-day Texas tour.
Dallas police.
Dallas police.
Had put into effect.
Had put into effect.
The most stringent security precautions in the city's history.
The most stringent security precautions in the city's history.
Because they had anticipated.
Because they had anticipated.
There might be some demonstrations.
There might be some demonstrations.
Against President Kennedy.
Against President Kennedy.
Like those which marked the visit.
Similar to those which marked the visit
of U.N. Ambassador Adlai Stevenson.
Of U.N. Ambassador Adlai Stevenson.
On October 24th.
On October
24th. Mrs. Kennedy.
Mrs. Kennedy.
Who was sitting beside the president.
Who was sitting beside the president.
In the open car.
In the open car.
Was not hurt.
Was not hurt.
However, the governor of Texas.
However, the governor of Texas.
John Connolly.
John Connolly.
Who was also in the car.
Who was also in the car.
Was wounded, reportedly in the chest.
Was wounded, reportedly in the chest.
And a more blood.
A big, repeat, Bob.
Further supplies of blood.
Further supplies of blood.
For transfusions for the governor.
For transfusions for the governor.
Have just been brought into the hospital.
Have just been brought into the hospital.
The shooting came.
The shooting came.
According to witnesses.
According to witnesses.
From the second floor.
From the second floor.
Of a building called the Texas School Book Depository.
Called the Texas School Book Depository.
Which is about 100 yards.
Which is about 100 yards.
From the tree-lined parkway.
From the tree-lined parkway.
On which the president was driving when the shooting occurred.
On which the president was driving when the shooting occurred.
Three shots were heard.
Three shots were heard.
Frank, that's about all I can tell you at the moment.
Bob, thank you very much. We'll keep the line open.
Okay, we'll keep the line open.
That was a report from NBC's Robert McNeil at the hospital in Dallas, Texas, confirming by way of word from the White House press secretary that President Kennedy is dead.
The death, according to Malcolm Kilduff, who was acting as the president's secretary on this trip, came roughly 39 minutes ago at about 1 o'clock Dallas time. There is further word that Vice President Lyndon Johnson was taken from the hospital, that he was not wounded. He has been taken from the hospital off to a secluded place. He will assume the constitutional duties succeeding now the late John Fitzgerald Kennedy, the former president, the late president of the United States. Now, it is necessary, even at a time when an event is fresh upon us, to look forward. We will do that now as we go to NBC.
You're on
Washington,
TV, Bob.
And Dan Brinkley.
I'm relaying. Right, I'm relaying your... Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh. The whole situation is, of course, that the Vice President, Lyndon Johnson, will be given the oath of office as President of the United States as soon as it can be done. I haven't had time to check this, but I believe the oath can be administered by anyone who can, a justice of the peace or anyone who can administer an oath. Had it happened in less unfortunate circumstances, he normally would be sworn in by the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. But in this case, he will be sworn in by anyone who has the power to do it. That means, therefore, that Lyndon Johnson will be President of the U.S. and will finish out Mr. Kennedy's term running until January of 1964. What happens then, obviously, we don't know. The next in line for the presidency then, after Mr. Johnson, becomes John McCormick of Massachusetts, Representative John McCormick of Massachusetts, who is the Speaker of, the Speaker of the House. He is, as I say, next in line. We were told a few minutes ago the Air Force had four jet airplanes on the ramp at nearby Andrews Air Force Base, ready to take off for Texas, and perhaps by this moment they have, I don't know. Presumably to bring Mr. Johnson and other members of the party back here, and or to take some of the members of Mr. Kennedy's family to Texas. I assume, though we have no other details as yet, but I assume that Mr. Johnson will return to Washington immediately and will take over the late President Kennedy's duties. Now, that is about all of the detail we have at the moment. As I reported earlier, Senator Edward Kennedy, the president's brother, was presiding over the Senate in Lyndon Johnson's absence. The vice president, when he leaves his job in the Senate, can turn the gavel over to anyone, any member. In this case, Senator Edward Kennedy was presiding when the word came of the shooting. At that time, it was not known whether the president was dead or alive. A reporter in the press gallery upstairs overlooking the Senate gave the word to a Senate page who then went down and told senators on the floor, the leadership, and the Senate was adjourned immediately and then was called back into session for a prayer by the Senate chaplain, the Reverend Frederick Brown Harris. In the meantime, the members left the floor and gathered around the news tickers and waited to see what has happened, and by now they know. Again, the few sketchy details we have at the moment, the White House was not getting information very rapidly because of the confusion and the haste at the scene, so what we have learned from Texas, not from here. Here is a late report. Cabinet members... Members of Mr. Kennedy's cabinet, that is Secretary of State Dean Rusk, the Secretary of Interior, Stuart Udall, and others, but I'm relying on memory. I don't remember who else was there. We're on their way to Japan as a part of a mission to discuss trade with the Japanese and other matters. They were 1 hour out of Hawaii. They have turned back to the United States. We don't know yet if they're coming to Washington or Dallas, but I would assume Washington. There isn't much they could do in Dallas. Pierre Salinger is with him. The Kennedy Children's, Bob Gorowski, who is at the White House, NBC's reporter there, says the Kennedy children are still there and it's a normal school day for them, for Caroline and her classmates. We are now told that the president was shot once in the head. Governor Connally of Texas was hit both in the head and the wrist, we are told. The police have found a rifle of some foreign make. We don't know what make, nor do we know exactly who had it, but we are told again, as we've reported earlier, that a young man was picked up at the scene and is being questioned. We don't know who he is. That is, that's all we have at the moment. Vice President Lyndon Johnson will now be sworn in as President of the United States and will serve out the remainder of Mr. Kennedy's term, which runs until January 20th, I believe, 1964, about a year and a half from now. Beyond that, we don't know. Chet, Frank, Bill, you there? Any more from Texas or elsewhere?
Yes, David, just this. President Kennedy was assassinated today in a burst of gunfire in downtown Dallas, Texas. Texas Governor John Connally was shot down with him. The president, cradled in his wife's arms, was rushed in his blood-spattered limousine to Parkland Hospital and taken to an emergency room. An urgent call went out for nurses and for blood. The president was 44 years old. He was shot once in the head, as David has just reported. Governor Connally was hit in the head and the wrist. Police have found a foreign make rifle. The president was conscious as he arrived at the hospital. Father Huber from Holy Trinity Roman Catholic Church was called and administered the last rites of the church. Vice President Lyndon B. Johnson, who now becomes President of the United States, was in a car behind the Kennedys and the Connallys. He is to be sworn into office as soon as possible. He rushed to the hospital and then was whisked away again by Secret Service men. His whereabouts, certainly, and as we can understand, is being kept secret.
Yes.
Kennedy lived about an hour after a sniper cut him down as his limousine left downtown Dallas. Automatically, of course, the mantle of the presidency falls now to Lyndon B. Johnson, a native Texan who had been riding two cars behind the chief executive. Here's one other little bit of information. The priests came out of the ward at approximately 1:37 p.m. Central Standard Time. The announcement by the two priests brought audible sobs from a crowd of scores of newsmen and other citizens crowded around the emergency ward entrance of the hospital. Senator Ralph Yarborough of Texas, talking only a few minutes before to the newsmen, collapsed in sobs as he told of witnessing the slaying of the president. Yarborough said he was in the third car behind the president. It seemed to him, he said, that at least two of the shots came from the right rear. He said he couldn't say anything about the third shot. So, that is the story. The president of the United States is dead. The new president is President Lyndon Johnson. The memories of, I suppose, all of us are flashing back to that warm April spring day of 1945 when we lost the wartime President Franklin D. Roosevelt. For many of us, this is the second time around that we have been through one of these crises. The last shooting incident, not fatal, involving a president occurred in 1950 when President Harry S. Truman was in office and was living in Blair House in Washington. The High White House was being renovated at that time. You may recall that two Puerto Rican nationalists tried to gun their way into Blair House and assassinate President Truman, who was taking a nap at the time on the second floor. So that is the story. The President of the United States is dead. The new President of the United States is Lyndon Johnson. Mrs. Kennedy, we understand, is still at the hospital. She was not hurt. The White House spokesmen have refused to comment on her condition. President Johnson is under heavy guard and was whisked away from the hospital by White House officials. President Kennedy, we are now informed, was shot in the right temple. It was a simple matter of a bullet right through the head, said Dr. George Berkeley, the White House medical officer.
Chet, we have more details, once again reestablishing contact with our station in Fort Worth, Dallas. And so, for additional information, we go to station WBAP-TV, Fort Worth, Dallas, and newsman Charles Murphy.
The car wanted in connection with the assassination of President Kennedy has been stopped in Fort Worth. Police report that the suspect in the shooting is in custody. Further word will come later. Fort Worth is 30 miles west of Dallas. Just a few minutes before this report, we heard from one of our newsmen in Dallas on the scene, James Kerr, who said that a Dallas policeman, J.D. Tippett, was shot to death by an unknown man in a car minutes after the president and Governor Connally were shot. The officer was shot about 2 miles from the scene of the presidential assassination. Repeating the first of this bulletin, the car wanted in connection with the assassination of President Kennedy has been stopped in Fort Worth. At an intersection, police reported that they had the suspect in the shooting on the ground. We hope further confirmation will come on this momentarily. This is Charles Murphy reporting from WBAP-TV, Fort Worth, Dallas.
Now, we have ready for you an eyewitness account of the assassination of President Kennedy. This was recorded, and the voice you will hear is that of an NBC sound man traveling with one of our television camera crews in the presidential trip to Texas. The sound is the voice of John Hoffman.
Yes, Bob.
This is John Hoffman of the NBC White House news crew traveling with the president in Dallas, Texas. We had just driven through the downtown section of Dallas through the business area where we had where the president had received a very tumultuous welcome. We're approaching a drive which would put us on a freeway where we would then drive to the trademark where the president was to attend the luncheon and make a speech by a Dallas citizen. As we turned down this moderate curve here, there was a loud shot. At first we thought it was a cherry bomb by some teenager. Then it was immediately followed by two and three more. Everybody sort of ducked in. There were people falling to the ground. We did not know who was shot. Ladies and men both were screaming. David Wigman, the cameraman in the car in which I was riding, immediately jumped out, was making pictures. We did not know who was hurt. When the president's car took off with the police escort and the Secret Service and a mad dash, which turned out to be towards the hospital. We picked up one of the remaining Secret Service men who had been left behind. He went with us in a mad frenzy in this motorcade behind the president's car. We were cleared through the police line and finally got to the hospital. As we came down the final drive there behind the emergency entrance, we were told that we could not go any further, and we stayed outside and were kept informed by Malcolm Kilduff, the associate news secretary on the president's staff, of what was happening. As I left the hospital to come over here to this phone, which is approximately a block away, he whispered in my ear, he says, "John, we understand the president has died. Since waiting here on the phone, they have made a statement that he has died."
That was the recorded voice of John Hofen, an NBC sound man who was traveling with a television film unit in the presidential motorcade and who witnessed the assassination of President Kennedy. Now, Frank McGee, who has been keeping an open telephone line to the Parkland Memorial Hospital in Dallas, where President Kennedy died, is once again in touch with the NBC correspondent who was traveling with the president, Robert McNeil. Here now, Frank and his communications with McNeil.
Yes, Bob, I understand that they're clearing the room, so would you give us a report on what you can see from there now?
Well, President Kennedy's body, Frank...
President Kennedy's body?
...is in the emergency section.
Oh, I'm sorry, Bob, I understand you can be heard directly now, so go right ahead with this great report.
President Kennedy's body is in the emergency section of this hospital at the end of a long corridor. For the past 45 minutes, the corridor has been filled with bewildered-looking White House officials, hospital interns, reporters... Now police are clearing out the entire corridor, and we believe that the president's body is about to be brought out. A bronze coffin was taken in about 15 minutes ago, and that was shortly after White House Press Secretary Malcolm Kilduff had officially announced that the president died at 1 o'clock Dallas time, that is 2 o'clock New York time, after the shooting incident in downtown Dallas.
Bob, thank you very much. Does this mean you will have to leave this telephone?
I can hold on for a second here, Frank, I think.
Well, please do.
I'm not a Warner Bay
fan. Yes, as long as you can. And that's the word from Dallas, Bill, at this
time. Thank you very much, Frank. Some additional detail here.
The flag at the White House has just been lowered to half-mast. We also have two eyewitness reports on the wire services. One eyewitness reporter, a television reporter named Mal Couch, said that he saw a gun emerging from the window of a warehouse. This warehouse was located just beyond a triple underpass through which the presidential motorcade had to go on its way into downtown Dallas. And just as the car emerged from the presidential car emerged from this underpass, three shots rang out. Three, not two. We know that Mr. Kennedy was hit in the right temple and that Governor Connally was hit in the head and wrist. That's all we know at the moment on Governor Connally. We do not have a late report on his condition. As you know, the president died just about an hour ago from his wounds. This is the first assassination of a president of the United States since William McKinley, I think, in 1980.
Well, here's something on Governor Connally. He's reporting in satisfactory condition.
This is just in, as Bill just told you, Governor Connally is in satisfactory condition. We have no report on the condition of Mrs. Kennedy. She is in the hospital still. Traveling behind a police escort with his wife, Lady Bird Johnson. She is now the first lady of the land since Mr. Johnson has become president of the United States. Lady Bird Johnson has been under heavy guard and is in seclusion somewhere in downtown Dallas.
Actually, Merrill, excuse me, do you have information? This is not information. Well, I was just going to say the President Kennedy is the third American president to be assassinated since Lincoln. The others were James Garfield in 1881 and William McKinley in 1901. And as a matter of fact, this continues one of, I suppose you'd have to call it one of the grimmest statistics in American history. No president in the last 100 years who has taken office in the zero year has completed his term of office. They've all died.
The Capitol is now starting to react to what has happened in Dallas, and for a report on that, we go now to Martin Agronsky, NBC News in Washington.
This is the flag at half-mast outside our studios here at NBC in Washington. We assume that the flag at the White House is at half-mast in the same way, and that all over this capital city of the United States, wherever the American flag flies, it has been lowered to half-mast as a sign of respect to the President of the United States. We have very little news as yet on the reaction in Washington. It happened so suddenly. There has been very little opportunity for any real reaction. Senator Mansfield has made no statement, the Senate Majority Leader. Speaker McCormick, who is now in the position in relation to President Lyndon Johnson, that Lyndon Johnson was in relation to President Kennedy, has made no statement. Nor has the Senate Minority Leader, Mr. Dirksen, nor, as far as we know, has the Senate Whip, Mr. Humphrey, Senator Humphrey of Minnesota. Senator Humphrey was informed by his aide while he was at lunch at the Chilean embassy of what happened. His aide reported that the senator's voice cracked several times, that he seemed completely numb, that he was unable to make a response, and said he would be immediately back to his office. I am told by an aide of Senator Ted Kennedy, of Senator Edward Kennedy, who now is presumably en route to Dallas with his attorney general brother, Robert, that when Senator Kennedy was informed of this, that he said not a word, merely laid down the gavel where he was presiding over the Senate of the United States, quietly stepped down from the rostrum and proceeded to leave the chamber. And the Senate, of course, went into immediate adjournment after the prayer by the Senate chaplain, Mr. Brown. All through the city, as we try to call government offices, it's almost impossible to reach prominent officials. I tried myself to call the Attorney General's office and discovered that the Attorney General had been out at his home in Virginia having lunch. The girl who answered the telephone in his office was crying so heavily she couldn't really make herself understood to me, and I could only make out that she knew that the Attorney General was at lunch and that he had been informed of what had happened. It's a state of shock, really, is the only way that I can describe the feeling that we have here in Washington. It goes for me, it goes for David Brinkley, for all of his correspondents as well. It's so impossible, I think, for all of us to contemplate, to realize, to understand that this young, so vital man can be dead in this fashion. There's nothing else really to report from here in the Capitol. Back to New York.
I think we must remember that it was only last week when the president was making a similar motor drive from New York's Idlewild Airport into New York, when at his discretion he elected not to follow behind the usual motorcycle escort with all the flashing lights and the sirens because it is so disruptive of traffic, and at the time that he was coming into New York it was a particularly busy time. And it, of course, created some snarls. The president's limousine was delayed at several points. At one time, it was even blocked by a truck and some buses. But they did, of course, make it into the heart of New York. And later, the president was pictured as having enjoyed this quite enormously because he liked to be treated without those considerations. And, yes, Bob, I am. Do you have word? Uh-huh.
Frank is speaking to NBC correspondent Robert McNeil. Has been in constant telephonic communication since the story first broke. Robert has been working at the hospital, and of course you can appreciate that there are times when he will be off gathering information, other times when he will come back to the phone to report to us. So from time to time, Frank and he will confer as to whether or not he has new information that he can add to what we already know about what happened in the hospital.
Bob, stand by just a moment. Bill, unless you have some late information.
I have not, sir. No, go right ahead.
Bob was just talking with me about the contrast in attitudes to the president's arrival and the mood that now prevails in Dallas, and I think this might be of some interest. So, Bob, if you'll go ahead. I believe he can be heard on the air.
I think he can,
enough.
Yes.
Just, Bob, go ahead.
How extraordinary the contrast was. When the President and Mrs. Kennedy arrived at the airport, there was a crowd of many hundreds, and Mrs. Kennedy, following the practice she's developed the last couple of days, took the initiative in going over to the fence, and seeing the President walk all along the fence, shaking hands with both hands, and the crowd was really delirious with them. And this kind of reaction was something like the reaction that was encountered in the big crowds all the way through the town. Very friendly. I saw only one hostile sign all the way through the motorcade, which went about 10 miles. And then suddenly, in the middle of this bright sunshine, the friendly crowd, and nobody expecting anything, these three muffled shots were heard. And it couldn't have been a more startling, gruesome contrast to the very pleasant, sunny, friendly atmosphere that he'd received, despite all the warnings that things were going to be difficult for him here in Dallas.
Why was that, Bob? Because of Adlai Stevenson's recent visit?
Well, this had been the thing that made the police worried, and Dallas got such a bad name around the world after the attack on Stevenson that the authorities were determined that there would be no repetition of this. You remember the ambassador was someone sat on him
and someone hit him over the head with a poster. They mobilized a third of their entire city police force with extra paddy wagons around the corner and everything else, and put on a strong propaganda campaign in the newspapers and on the radio and TV stations to make sure that the name of Dallas was not dragged in the mud again by any unfavorable incident when the president came. And that is why it was such a contrast.
What is the situation in the room where you are at the hospital now?
I'm in a little small waiting room where emergency patients wait to be taken into the operating rooms where they're treated. And there are a few policemen who are the only ones left in the long corridor leading to the room with double swinging doors, behind which we assume the president's body is being placed in the bronze coffin, which was taken in about half an hour ago, and from which we expect it to come out shortly.
Bob, we have a still photograph here in the studio that has just moved, and it shows a man and a woman and what looks like two small children lying on the ground. I understand you saw these people.
Yes, they were the first people I went to. I must have got there shortly before that picture was taken, when I jumped out of the press car, and they, in common with many other people, were screaming and lying down in the grass to escape from the shooting. The minute the shooting sound started, the air was filled with the screams of women and children, sort of very feminine wailing filled the air, and everybody lay down on the sidewalks, on the grass, on the edge of the parkway, and I assume that the picture you're talking about is that, because nobody else I know was besides Kennedy and Governor Connolly.
We lost a part of that, you say. As far as you know, no one...
As far as I know, no one else was hit other than President Kennedy and Governor Connolly.
Now, Bob, again, about the area or the building from which the shot apparently was fired. Could you describe that for us and tell us about how far away it was from the car and how they would have been able to see the car from that distance?
Yes, well, I'll describe the scene. There was, as you come out of the main street of downtown Dallas, which was packed with people, it seeped into a parkway called the Triple Underpass. And that parkway, which is lined with trees and lawns, takes a bend. And behind some trees, in a sort of service road, is a brick building of about 8 stories, which is called the Texas School Book Depository.
According to
witnesses, two of them who I talked to and the police talked to, say they saw a man with a gun in the second floor, another one said the fourth floor, a window of that building. Now, from either floor, Frank, he would be able to see over the low trees to about 100 yards away where the president's car was.
An unobstructed view, Bob?
I was not able to go up to either of those windows, so I couldn't see for myself, but looking at it from the ground, it looked as though it would be. The president, therefore, must have had presented either a profile to the assailant, if he was, in fact, in those windows that a witness would say, and, or his three-quarters back, because his car had actually passed the direct line from the window. The way it went is the car would have approached the window head-on, then turned back and gone down a slight decline under the underpass. Just a moment, Frank.
Yes, Tom. That seems to fit, Bill, with what he said. The word that we had here was the president was struck in the right... Yes, Bob.
Carried out.
Right. Say again, Bob.
The president's body has just been carried out of the hospital in a bronze casket. And it was accompanied by his military aide, Major General Clifton.
And
it has been placed in an ambulance. I understand it is being taken straight to the air base where he landed for it to be flown back to Washington.
I see, Bob.
The crowds have all been moved away from the door by the local police and the Secret Service. I can hear the motorcycle escort outside with the ambulance starting up. And the president's body, with some police motorcycle escort, is now pulling away from the hospital. It is about 1.5 hours since he was shot. The president has been dead for about 1 hour and 7 minutes. Vice President Lyndon Johnson, who is now constitutionally the president, left immediately after the president's death was confirmed, and with a peace escort, went off to the airport, presumably to go straight to Washington to assume the constitutional responsibilities of the president.
Bob, returning to your earlier narrative, you had just taken us to the point where the president's car had turned, and I was about to ask...
turn. Now, there were three cars behind him with Secret Service and several Texas congressmen. And then I was in the first press bus, the front of the first press bus, which came behind those. And just as we turned the corner, about 40 feet behind the president's car, I heard three shots.
Now, Bob, was the president seated or standing at that time?
The president was seated because there were very few people at that point. It was a thin crowd at that exact point. Most of the crowd had been concentrated a few hundred yards back. The president was seated. Mrs. Kennedy was seated. But when I heard shots, I saw people fall to the ground and was not looking for the moment at the president. The car immediately disappeared under the underpass and speeded up to go straight to the hospital. And I left the press box and went to this building from which the shots reportedly came.
Mm-hmm. What sort of a building is it, Bob?
Well, it is I told you the title. It's the Texas Jewel Book Depository. It's a orangey brick building of about 8 floors. And that we're showing an expanse to the street of maybe about 8 windows wide in the front.
Well, Bob, from the point where they think the man with the gun might have been seen,
yeah,
to where the president was actually felled, would it have been possible for him to have been struck by a bullet in the right temple?
I believe that if he was using a high-powered rifle with a telescopic sight, one policeman told me he understood it was a high-powered rifle. I don't know about the telescopic sight. I assume that from that distance it could be.
I see.
It could be.
About how fast was the president's motorcade going at the time of the fire?
Slowly. It was about, by that time, having just gone around the corner, it was probably between 15 and 20 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm. And Vice President Lyndon Johnson was how far behind?
I'm not sure, Frank, which car. There was a jumble of congressmen in the car immediately behind, and I'm not sure which car Vice President Johnson was in.
And then you say, of course, that the motorcade speeded up immediately and rushed toward
the
hospital.
And disappeared under the underpass, and I had jumped out by that time and was running with the police. They thought the assailant had fled over some railroad tracks, and they chased him through what they thought was the assailant, through several trains.
Mm-hmm.
Standing on the tracks, and I went with them, and therefore didn't see the president immediately as he went under the underpass.
Well, did they apprehend this person they were
chasing? No, they apprehended nobody at that time. They went back and started talking to witnesses on the scene.
I see.
Just a moment, Frank.
Yes, Bob.
There is also this that could be added. We have.
Frank, I'm told that Vice President Johnson was in the car directly behind the president.
I see. Now, Bob, from the point where the assassination occurred to the hospital is about how far in time and distance?
Would you say? It's about a mile and a half. I was able to commandeer a private car.
Hold it, Bob. We have a little information here, please.
We are now going to the United Nations, where I'm told delegates from the member nations are expressing their condolences to Ambassador Adlai Stevenson. So we switch now to the United Nations.
I call now on the Secretary General.
Mr. President, as Secretary General of the United Nations,
I would like to express
profound sorrow at this most tragic event and to be associated in the condolences to Mrs. Kennedy, to the members of the bereaved family, and to the government and people of the United States.
I request members of the General Assembly to rise and observe 1 minute of silence in tribute to the memory of President Kennedy, after which I shall adjourn this meeting in sign of mourning. The meeting is adjourned.
Delegates of the 111 member nations of the United Nations standing in a moment of silence in sympathy to the United States government for the loss that was sustained today with the death, the assassination in Dallas, Texas, of President John F. Kennedy. We have word that Mrs. Kennedy, who was riding in the car with her husband and Texas Governor John Connally at the time the shots were fired, Mrs. Kennedy at no time collapsed, at no time did she give way to hysteria, that she fell to the floor of the car where the president had slumped after the bullet struck him in the head and cradled his head in her lap, held him in her arms all the way to the hospital, and at no time gave way to hysteria, although there were reports of her shouting, "Oh no," at the time the president was hit by the sniper's bullet. We now have more reports from the area where it happened, so we return to station WDAP-TV in Fort Worth and newsman Tom Whalen.
Here's an additional report on what you heard NBC correspondent Bob Abernathy describe a few minutes ago, the building in which the sniper had hidden. It's the Texas School Depository at the intersection of Elm and Houston Street in Dallas. Dallas Prime Laboratory Lieutenant J.C. Day went to the building a short time after the shooting took place, and he walked out with a British 303 rifle. The rifle has a telescopic sight. Now, the rifle was found on the sixth floor of the building near a corner window. Also, police searching that area found three empty 303 cartridge cases, also strapped with chicken, as if a person could have been there for some time. There were boxes of books, textbooks, and other school materials stacked up all around on three sides of a sniper's nest, as if he had been there for some time. There was a gun rest made of papers near the open window that commanded the site from which the sniper, by which the presidential motorcade passed when the president and Governor Connally were shot. We also have another eyewitness account, Charles Bren of Dallas, who was probably the last man to view the president from the street as the motorcade sped away. Here is Charles Bren's report.
Jimmy, where's your witness?
Wait, Brent. You are a witness to the incident here.
Yes, sir. Unfortunately, I was probably 15 to 20 feet away from the president when it happened.
Tell us exactly what you thought.
He was coming down the street, and my five-year-old boy and myself were by ourselves on the grass there on Palmer Street, and I asked Joe to wave to him, and Joe waved, and I waved in the middle.
It's all right, sir.
Because he was waving back. The shot rang out, and he slumped down in the street. And his wife reached up toward him, and he was slumping down, and the second shot went off, and just knocked him back from the seat.
Two shots.
Two shots.
Did you see the man who did the...
No, sir, I did not see the man who did it. All I did was look in the man's face when he was shot there and saw that expression on his face and grabbed himself and fly. And the second one, whenever it went, why, I'm positive it hit him. I hope it didn't, but I'm positive it hit him, and he went all the way down in the car. Then they speeded up, and I didn't know what was going on, so I just grabbed the boy and fell off him and hoped that it wasn't a maniac around. All right. I can't help you more, but I won't say it. Thank you very much.
As we said before, the sniper's nest has been found, and police have recovered a British 303 rifle with a telescopic sight. This is Tom Whalen reporting from Texas for NBC from WBAP-TV.
Things can move this fast when you are dealing with a story of this magnitude. Even while we were getting reports from Fort Worth, Dallas, on finding the sniper's nest and details of what was going on in that building from which the bullets were fired, we were handed another story here from Dallas, and Frank has that.
Well, it's to the effect that a Secret Service agent and a Dallas policeman have been shot and killed some distance away from the area where President Kennedy was assassinated, and no other information was immediately available.
There was an earlier report, Frank, from WBAP-TV that a Dallas policeman had been shot to death approximately 2 miles from the scene where the assassination of President Kennedy took place.
This seems to be the same policeman, but that a secret service agent was killed in addition.
Also, in the earlier reports, we were told that a car that was wanted in connection with the assassination of President Kennedy had been stopped in Fort Worth and that a suspect had been picked up. Now, we have heard, had no further word on that, no indication whether the police have or feel they have captured the person or persons who took part in this successful attempt on the life of President Kennedy.
As NBC's Bob McNeil reported just a few moments ago, the president's body has been taken away from the hospital where he died after being assassinated, and it is the assumption that it is being taken to the airport where he had arrived just a short time earlier for his motorcade and planned speech in Dallas. The assumption is, and a great deal of what we're doing now is assumption. The assumption is that he will be taken by plane back to Washington where his body will lie in state. Mrs. Kennedy, at last report, was still in the hospital. It was now President Johnson, Lyndon Johnson, left the hospital a short time earlier. And the thought there also was that he was headed for the airport to catch a jet back to Washington where he will be sworn in as President of the United States.
There is this, Frank. Robert Dorowski reports from the White House that George Reedy, who was Lyndon Johnson's assistant, has just arrived at the White House. And the speculation is that that is in preparation for the administering of the presidential oath to Mr. Johnson.
Go ahead. I was just going to say that it always occurs as soon after the death of a president as possible. There is no particular protocol or formality for it. As far as we know, the president, the vice president, is contacted and informed of the passing of the president if he does not already know, and is almost immediately sworn in. Sometimes there is a private swearing-in ceremony that is repeated later, but it is not a joyous occasion, as you can imagine, and constitutionally, the vice president becomes president immediately upon the death of the president of the United States. So Lyndon Johnson is now president of the United States and will presumably be sworn in sometime this afternoon.
There are reports, Frank, that the president's father and mother, Mr. and Mrs. Kennedy, were informed of the attack on their son at Hyannisport, Massachusetts, but there is no indication that we have yet that they know that they have, in fact, lost their son. There was an indication that when they were told he had been wounded, that his mother, Mrs. Rose Kennedy, was getting ready to fly to Dallas. Presumably, those plans may change. Also, Governor John Connally of Texas, who was riding in the car with the late president and was wounded, it is reported that he is not out of the woods, but that his vital signs are good. He has been operated on for a gunshot wound in the chest. Doctor said that the governor of Texas has a good pulse, his respiration satisfactory, although he is in much pain. Europe, as we might expect, has been deeply stunned, shocked, and no doubt amazed by what happened in Dallas today. Our servicemen overseas got word of it on the Armed Forces Network. In the Vatican, Pope Paul VI was immediately informed. Francis Cardinal Spellman of New York, who was in Rome for the Ecumenical Council, was also told of what had happened to the president. He said, "I am saying the rosary for him now." Cardinal Spellman said the president's death was a great loss to the country and to the world. In Great Britain, radio and television suspended their regular programming after the flash of the president's death was received there. It came in London at about 7:30 in the evening, British time, and the Soviet news agency TASS carried a flash on its circuit this afternoon saying, and I quote from TASS, "It has been officially announced that the United States President John F. Kennedy has died in the hospital after an attempt was made on his life, again, and still quoting TASS, by persons as believed from among the extreme right-wing elements." Close quote on TASS. Frank?
Well, it's just a note here, Bill, that it was at 2.05 p.m. I suppose that would be Central Standard Time. It was Eastern Time. No, it would have been Central Time when the president's body was removed from the hospital. It was driven away in a lengthy cream-colored ambulance, and the side curtains were tightly drawn.
There is something here, Frank, on at least one of the persons, and there may have been two, there may be only one, picked up in connection with the assassination of President Kennedy. A white man in his mid-20s was arrested in the Riverside section of Fort Worth in the shooting of a Dallas policeman. The man with black curly hair, wore a red shirt, denied that he was connected with the assassination of the president. He was in handcuffs when he was seen by reporters. So a man has been taken into custody. It is in connection with the shooting of a Dallas City policeman. There is no word yet whether this is or is thought to be the man or person who today assassinated President Kennedy, apparently with a single shot from a high-powered rifle fired from the fifth floor of a building, which was, as we are told by Robert McNeil, roughly 100 yards from the president's motorcade, which was traveling at slow speed. Now, we are starting to get conflicting reports on weapons. There was one that it was a .303 rifle, and that three spent .303 cartridges were found on the fifth floor of this building, along with some remnants of chicken, indicating that the sniper staked himself out for quite a while before firing the fatal shot today. Now, there is another word that a Mauser has been found, a 7.65 Mauser. It's a German army rifle which had a telescopic sight with one shell left in the chamber. Three spent shells were found nearby. What this means, whether this is the weapon or the other, we do not know. Possibly the Mauser is measured in millimeters and might come close to being a .303.
Might well be. I would expect, certainly, that during these early and confusing moments of this thing, we're likely to get conflicting reports. It's of no consequence in the final analysis. The president is dead, has been shot. I'm sure that all of us from time to time have wondered if it is really necessary to go to the great lengths that the Secret Service does go through in trying to protect the life of the President of the United States. Each infinite detail is checked out. I would assume, but I think it's a safe assumption, that the driver of the automobile, who was a Secret Service man, knew instantly where the nearest hospital in Dallas was located. And the reports we have received from there say that he sped away immediately and went directly to the hospital in an effort to spare the president first from further gunfire, and secondly, of course, get him to the hospital as quickly as possible. But despite the inconvenience and the annoyance that is connected with the Secret Service effort to protect the life of the President of the United States, it still comes as a tremendous shock to us to realize that that a thing like this can happen in our country, and with the precautions that are made. One of those who was a witness to the assassination today and was a member of the presidential party was Texas Senator Ralph Yarbrough, and he went to the hospital when the president was taken there and was the first to give newsmen anxiously awaiting in corridors outside some indication of what the president's condition might be. This is a picture, I think, if we can get it here on our frame of the Texas senator at the hospital as he came out and tried to talk with the newsmen. Everyone was shocked and broken up, and he quite obviously is under some stress and strain, appears to be in tears. Texas Senator Ralph Yarbrough.
Frank, in speaking of precautions taken in presidential motorcades and security in attempts to protect them from any possible attack, I have ridden in those motorcades, and you have too, and I'm sure you realize that total protection is just completely impossible.
As they realize this, if one stops and thinks, here you have a distance of maybe 15 or 20 miles, and the person that you're trying to protect is in an open automobile. Quite frequently he is standing and waving. The distance from his arrival point to his destination, as I say, could be 15 miles. You could have hundreds, literally hundreds of thousands, and on occasion millions of people lining these streets. There are hundreds and hundreds of buildings on either side where an assassin could attempt to conceal himself. So in a very real sense, it is an impossible thing to give complete and total protection to the President of the United States. Wasn't even attempted, as a matter of fact, prior to the assassination of Abraham Lincoln, who has no Secret Service.
We have further reaction, Frank, from overseas on the loss of President Kennedy. West Germany's Chancellor Ludwig Erhard said the news fills the German people with deep grief. Again from Rome, Cardinal McIntyre of Los Angeles, Cardinal Ritter of St. Louis, called together the student priests of Rome's North America College to recite prayers for the late president. Cardinal McIntyre said Cardinal Ritter and myself were having dinner when we heard the news, astounding news, of President Kennedy's death. And Cardinal McIntyre said, we are shocked, grief-stricken, and our hearts are pained. The Italian Premier-designate Aldo Moro said, speaking of President Kennedy, his stature as a politician in his great country and on the international scene was growing in the years of courageous policy of renewal. French Prime Minister Pompidou said, it is atrocious, it is frightful, I am overwhelmed. As is the city where President Kennedy fulfilled his duties, the city of Washington, D.C. So for further developments there, we switch now to David Brinkley in Washington.
The flag has been lowered at the White House. the White House, the acting White House press secretary, Malcolm Kilduff. He is acting in the absence of Pierre Salinger, who is in a jet plane out over the Pacific. He, along with four members of the president's cabinet, was on his way to Japan for a meeting. When the news reached them about a half hour ago, the plane turned around and headed back toward Hawaii and then back toward Washington. Kilduff said the president's body would be flown to Washington this afternoon. Senator Kennedy, Senator Edward Kennedy, the president's brother, and Mrs. Sergeant Shriver, his sister, that's Eunice Kennedy, arrived at the White House a few minutes ago. From there, they took a helicopter to Andrews Air Force Base, which is a few miles outside of town. From there, they will take a jet plane to fly to Dallas to join Mrs. Kennedy. The Attorney General, Robert Kennedy, was at home in Virginia having lunch when the news came. He lives a mile or so outside the city limits. He came back into town and is leaving or has left for the airport also to fly to Texas. The government has been closed down. Congress has adjourned. The four members of the cabinet, as I say, who were up over the Pacific have turned back. Some of the comments from members of the Senate betray the same shock and horror expressed by everyone else on hearing the news. For example, Mike Mansfield, the Democratic leader of the Senate, when the news came to him, said he was a man who contributed so much and deserved so much more in return. Senator Bible of Nevada said it's one of the great tragedies of our lifetime, and the world has lost a great champion in the United States, a courageous president. And Senator Byrd of Virginia said he was deeply shocked. It's a disaster, and he could not find words to express his distress. There are similar sentiments expressed by everyone who has said anything at all. The Secret Service, which is charged with protecting the president, physically protecting him, is a plainclothes civilian arm of the United States Treasury, which is just next door to the White House, to the left of the picture you're seeing. They are the husky, muscular young men you see in the news pictures. When the president's motorcade is moving at slow speed in a street or a parade, they usually walk along or run along beside it. They are aware that it is impossible. You see a crowd is gathering across the street. That's Lafayette Park, facing the front entrance to the White House. A crowd is gathered over there for no particular reason, because there is nothing anybody can do. But crowds usually do gather there in moments of crisis. That is, of course, the White House flag at half-staff, lowered as soon as the news came. The Secret Service tries to guard him as best it can, very often by keeping their own bodies in line of any weapon that may be aimed at the president. But obviously, they can't cover every window or every tree or every manhole, and they rely primarily on the decency and the good sense of the American people. That, again, is NBC's live television camera on the White House lawn, looking through the iron picket fence across Pennsylvania Avenue to Lafayette Park, named for the Marquis de Lafayette, whose statue is there, and people are beginning to gather there. These are the grounds of the White House, the West Executive Wing, where the President's office is, and where a few minutes ago George Reedy, who is a close associate of Lyndon Johnson, arrived. Didn't say anything, but we assume he came to help make arrangements for the changeover of administration. We don't know specifically yet that Lyndon Johnson has been sworn in, has officially taken the oath, but whether or not he has, he soon will, and whether or not he has, he's president anyway, because that's how the Constitution spells it out. He will, of course, serve out the remainder of Mr. Kennedy's term until January of 64. Beyond that, we don't know. That is about all the detail we have here at the moment, Frank. So we'll switch back to New York for any further details you may have from Dallas or elsewhere.
Say on this, David, that we are still in touch with Dallas, and as we are with you there in Washington, and very shortly, of course, the emphasis of one part of the story will shift from Dallas back to Washington. It is being anticipated that the president's body is being thrown back to the nation's capital. Perhaps even now, and that is where we expect President Johnson to officially be sworn in. We are anxious, of course, for further information on the quest for the assassin. We do not know whether the actual assassin has been placed under arrest yet or not. We've had stories that one, perhaps two persons have been placed under arrest in Texas. And we have had stories within the past half hour that a Secret Service man as well as a Dallas policeman were killed in a shooting incident sometime after the president had been assassinated. The assumption here would be that the two shootings are connected, but it's not necessarily true. So in very short order, the story will shift to Washington for the formalities there. We'll remain in Dallas for the search for the assassins there, and we will keep our team standing by in both areas to bring you the developments as soon as we have this point I was trying to make.
Yes, Frank. There is this, too, detail on Mrs. Kennedy following the assassination of her husband, the president. Mrs. Kennedy and the president's body were escorted from the emergency entrance of Parkland Memorial Hospital in Dallas by two motorcycle officers. It is said that Mrs. Kennedy walked out the back door of the emergency entrance as the president's body was being taken out. She walked slowly. She looked around her in what is described as a dazed manner and appeared to be in a state of shock. Those who saw her enter the hospital an hour and a half earlier said she had not been hysterical, but in spite of the tremendous experience she had undergone and was undergoing, she had managed to control herself and keep her head. There is this ironic note. The main body of the reporters who daily cover the president apparently did not know that he had lost his life until they got to the destination which the motorcade was headed for, the trademark where the president had been scheduled to make a speech this afternoon. As Robert McNeil has pointed out, he was in the first press bus riding behind the president, and that was three cars behind the president's car. But the main body of the White House reporters was at the rear of the motorcade. They were riding in two buses, and there were many of them who did not know of the shooting until they got to the downtown trademark in Dallas, and there they found out their first hard news of what had happened, although they did have some idea of what was going on when they saw the motorcade start to fall apart and Dallas police and Secret Service men start to take off in all directions. We are told now that President Kennedy's body will arrive at Andrews Air Force Base at 5:30 this afternoon, Washington time.
It's about a little less than 2 hours from now, Bill.
Just about 2 hours, yes. Reaction from overseas, the first point we are able to call in right now, our correspondent in Rome, Irving R. Levine.
Shock and grief are the reactions in Italy, where President Kennedy was enormously popular. Italian President Segni immediately sent an aide to the American embassy to express his sympathy. President Segni called President Kennedy's death a great loss to humanity. Pope Paul is preparing a radiogram, which is expected to be ready within an hour. Italian radio and television made the announcement of the president's death and then went off the air except for solemn music. Cardinal Spellman and other American bishops in Rome for the Ecumenical Council expressed shock. Cardinal Spellman said that he is saying rosary for President Kennedy now. Irving R. Levine, NBC News, Rome.
There is the first overseas point we have called in to bring you a reaction to the assassination of President Kennedy, which took place in Dallas, Texas this afternoon. Frank McGee is in touch with Robert McNeil.
Let me interrupt you.
White House correspondent
who
was traveling with the president at the time the assassination took place. Here's Frank's conversation with McNeil.
I just wanted to interrupt you to tell you that you are going on the air. You are, in fact, on the air now, so why don't you make the report direct, Bob?
Go right ahead. We can have pictures, Sir Frank, in about 15 minutes.
I see.
The doctors who attended President Kennedy have just reported his condition. Doctor... The chief attending surgeon at the hospital, Dr. Malcolm Perry, said the president was in critical condition from wounds in the neck and the head when he was brought into the hospital.
Neck and head.
He said it is possible that these were both caused by the same bullet.
I see.
I'll just tell you what the doctor said. He said they immediately attempted resuscitation. The professor of neurosurgery at the hospital, Dr. Clark, was called in, and several other doctors. They arrived at the president's condition
at that time did not allow any sign of resuscitation. He was critically ill and moribund, that is, near death.
Mm-hmm.
They attempted respiration. They gave him oxygen, anesthetic. They performed a tracheotomy, that is, making an opening into the neck to assist breathing. They gave him blood and slips and also chest in the tube to remove any possibility of air getting into the pleural stage. They attached an electric cardiograph to monitor his heartbeat, but shortly after that, his heart failed, and they tried external massage to produce a heart movement again. This was without any success. They did achieve, for a brief moment, a faint pulse, but the president finally died at 1 o'clock, about 25 minutes after he was brought into the hospital. That the brain wound in the president's head involved a great loss of blood and a great loss of brain tissue. The brain wound was in the back of his head, slightly to the right, which, Frank, would fit with the picture I gave you earlier.
Yes, ma'am.
Of the president being, having his back to the assailant. This hypothesis that the assailant was in the building I described is true, but this conflicts with the fact that the wound in the neck, the doctors say, was in the front of the neck, just below the Adam's apple. Now, it could have been that there were two bullets. One struck him as he faced the assailant, the other as the car turned the corner, or perhaps one bullet just struck him from the front in the neck and then went up the brain. In any case, the president never regained consciousness.
The president was unconscious from the moment he was struck.
Well, he was unconscious and near death from that moment.
I see, Bob. And now, we understood, you told us earlier that the president's body had been removed from the hospital. It was a speculation at that time that it was being taken to the airfield.
Yes.
Are you able to confirm that it has gone?
I believe that is true, that it was reported that it has gone to the airfield to be flown back to Washington.
And
Lyndon Johnson, the new president, is for the moment remaining here in Dallas.
Do you know where he is at the moment?
I do not know at the moment where he is.
But he is not on his way back to Washington.
No, he is not.
Not as yet. Bob, thank you very much and stand by. We'll be getting in touch with you a moment later.
Thank you, Frank and Bob. There's this news from Dallas. The police department has arrested one man, but in connection with the slaying of a Dallas policeman, it is not yet known whether this man who is under arrest has any connection with the assassination of President Kennedy. Further details now from the scene. We go to station WDAP-TV in Dallas-Fort Worth and newsman Charles Murphy.
Eight film has just arrived in our newsroom from Dallas. This unedited film shows the scene of the crowded Dallas trademark when news of the shooting was announced. Also on the film is a prayer given then for President Kennedy.
The words here have been changed. He does not know how serious it is. Our request has been very difficult to get. People tell you what is real and so we know too.
May we all stand for a moment. Sure, there's a desire in each of our hearts to bow our heads in the presence of Almighty God, from each in our own way, to come to Him. Let us pray. O God, none of us can find words to express the deepest feelings of our hearts. We realize that this is a time of mourning. Yet we would each come relying upon the faith that we possess. We would each come with perhaps the most earnest prayer that we ever offer, in behalf of our president, our governor, the members of their families. So we pray that even in this gathering, we may reveal that calmness that shall be pleasing to thee, that we shall await word in a spirit of prayer in thy holy name. Amen.
There you have the scene at the Trade Center in Dallas where President Kennedy was going to make an address, and the crowd assembled waiting to hear the President learning what had happened to him. If we can, we will try to clear up this arrest which has taken place in Dallas. The police department has arrested a man, but in connection with the shooting of a Dallas policeman, the fatal shooting of a Dallas policeman, the man was arrested in a theater in the Oak Cliff section of Dallas. He had a pistol at the time he was arrested, and the policeman he allegedly killed was killed by a pistol shot. There is nothing now to definitely link this man who has been taken into custody with the assassination of President Kennedy, who was killed by a bullet from a high-powered rifle. From all we can tell from reports from Robert McNeil at the hospital, from doctors who treated the president and were able to give specific and clinical details of the wound, indicating that it was a high-powered bullet, like probably a large-caliber bullet, too. We are now going to go to an NBC mobile unit, which is outside the NBC building here in New York, for pictures and sounds of the reaction of citizens of this city to the loss of their president. We go to NBC reporter Jeff Pond.
We're on the street outside the NBC studios in Rockefeller Center. Sir, how did you hear of the president's assassination?
Gentleman came into an office in which I was transacting business and mentioned it to us, and at the time I really wasn't able to believe it. I had to hear it myself, and unfortunately I did very shortly afterwards.
What is your feeling now?
I'm terribly shocked and saddened by it, and I would add angered by it.
Why angered?
I think it was a horrible, senseless thing, and I hope that the rest of the country feels the same way.
Do you think that this assassination somehow reflects a climate of opinion in the country now?
I hope that it doesn't reflect a climate of opinion that is very prevalent in the country today. It certainly obviously reflects an opinion that some people hold. I hope that as an American and the other people as Americans do not generally hold this feeling.
You said some people. Who do you mean by that?
I don't feel expert enough to express an opinion, but the only evidence that I have as to who these people are these ultra-conservative groups that have been distributing literature and spreading hate in Texas, and who attacked Ambassador Stevenson about a week ago.
A little longer than that. Of course, no one knows that these people are indeed responsible.
No, certainly not.
Thank you, sir. Ma'am, what was your reaction?
I was very shocked and saddened by the president's death. I was getting some eyeglasses fitted when I first heard about it, and then I was riding on the bus when they finally told me he was dead.
Do you find it difficult to believe even now?
I really do. I really find it difficult to believe now.
The president was in Dallas, which is, of course, part of the South. Do you think that somehow his racial policies are in any way connected with this?
That's the first thing I thought of when I heard about it, yes. I thought that probably some segregationist crackpot or something, just they had it all planned out, and I really believe that his blood will be on their hands forever, yes.
Thank you. How about you, sir? Do you believe it even now?
This is the first time in my life I honestly say I'm not proud to be an American. Right now I'm serving in the armed forces and I'm just home on leave. And it's an understatement to say it was a shock. I at first did not believe it. And I have trouble believing it now. I just don't think it reflects the thinking of most people. As was stated before, I think it's a small minority, and it's just an unfortunate day for the United States that this can happen. This is something you do read in history books and just never want to believe that can happen when you're living.
Do you think this in some way reflects on the security arrangements that the Secret Service...
There are random samplings, what are called man-in-the-street interviews, people here in New York City, their reactions to the loss of the President of the United States, John F. Kennedy, who died approximately an hour and 45 minutes ago in Parkland Hospital in Dallas, Texas, after being fatally wounded by a sniper. Developments in the nation's capital, reported now by NBC's David Brinkley in Washington.
Bill, we've reported this before, but we will report again that the President's body is expected to arrive at Andrews Air Force Base, a few miles outside of Washington, at about 5:30 Washington time, which is about an hour and 40 minutes from now. The church bells all over town are ringing. We're told that people are standing on street corners crying openly and freely. NBC's Robert Abernathy reports from Andrews Base that the base commander says the president's body, again, will be arriving at 5:30. He also says that Senator Edward Kennedy and his sister, Mrs. Shriver, who was Eunice Kennedy, have just taken off by jet for Otis Air Force Base in Massachusetts. We assume, then, they are going to their home state to join their mother, father, and other members of the Kennedy family. We also are told that military officers who have the job of arranging state funerals are at the White House now and presumably making the plans. Mr. Kennedy is the first president to die in office since the Defense Department was set up and these arrangements were made. And I think there is no set standard ritual to be followed, so to some extent it will have to be made up. Presumably, the Army will be in charge of the arrangements, as it always has been, and it has, of course, caissons and ceremonial horses at Fort Myer, Virginia, which is nearby, along with honor guards of troops, who presumably will be used. That is about all we have here at the moment. Richard Valeriani of NBC News is at the White House, as is our mobile unit with a live picture, so we'll switch there and see what's happened. Richard?
The American flag atop the White House here in Washington has been lowered to half-mast. It came down shortly afterwards. There was confirmation of the president's death in Dallas. In the White House itself, the president's two children are still there, Caroline and John Jr. We do not know yet if they have been informed of their father's death. We don't know either if there are any of the cabinet members here right now. The two ranking members of the presidential staff were Ted Sorensen and McGeorge Bundy, through the president's aide. The picture of the flag flying at half-mast, the scene through the trees stripped of their leaves, captures the mood of grimness here at the White House. Outside in front of the White House, crowds have begun to gather, waiting for, they probably don't know quite what, perhaps looking for some visual confirmation of what they and everybody else find so hard to believe, that the president is indeed dead, the victim of an assassin's bullet in Dallas. Police have roped off one side of Pennsylvania Avenue. They are allowing pedestrians to walk in front of the White House, but not to congregate there. Extra police details have been sent and have to contain the crowds outside the White House and to surround the White House on all sides. Traffic is moving normally, and there are no other changes. We are also told that an assistant to Vice President Lyndon Johnson has also arrived at the White House, George Reedy. There is not a great deal of hard information coming from the White House press office. The first word that was received there was from a reporter who was asking for permission to enter. First word of the fact that the president was shot. The mood in there, too, is one of just utter shock, utter disbelief. White House press office is jammed with reporters waiting for some bits of information, waiting for any kind of word on what is going to happen next. To repeat, most of the news from here is being received from Dallas. There is no late information on what the next developments will be. The crowds are still gathering outside the front of the White House, across Pennsylvania Avenue. The weather in Washington is gray, rather unseasonably warm, slight chill in the air. People here, as people must be all over the country, walking around with looks of stunned disbelief on their faces. This is Richard Valeriani, NBC News, at the White House in Washington.
Here in Washington, Senator Goldwater of Arizona, Barry Goldwater, who was the man regarded, or was the man regarded, as most likely to oppose President Kennedy in an effort to take the presidency away from him in the election next year, has issued a statement in which he says it is most shocking and dreadful that a thing like this could happen in a free country. The president's death, Senator Goldwater said, is a profound loss to the nation and to the free world. He and I were personal friends. It is also a great loss to me. Mrs. Goldwater and I offer our heartfelt sympathy to Mrs. Kennedy and to the president's family. He has canceled the political appearance he was going to make last night in Grand Rapids, going to make tomorrow night in Grand Rapids. It reflects really the feeling that is prevalent here on both sides of the aisle in Congress, feeling of great personal bereavement, feeling of loss, feeling of shock. I think back to the night of the convention in 1960 when Vice President Lyndon Johnson accepted the nomination. Governor John Connally was then the floor manager for Lyndon Johnson, and was the man who was always his closest assistant in all of his political campaign, that is Governor Connally of Texas, who now lies wounded in a hospital in Dallas. About 2 o'clock in the morning, when there was much talk that Lyndon Johnson would be offered the vice presidential nomination, John Connally told me that he was positive he would never accept it. I had talked earlier to the late speaker, to Sam Rayburn. He told me, too, that Lyndon Johnson would never accept the vice presidency, would never give up the job of Senate Majority Leader to take it. And I bet John Connally then $50 that Lyndon Johnson would take the vice presidential nomination. And at 2 o'clock that morning, John Connally made that bet with me, really positive that his very close friend, Lyndon Johnson, would not accept it. This, I suppose, is the way that history is made. Had Lyndon Johnson not accepted it, he, of course, would not be President of the United States today. No one could ever have believed or dreamed that a president so young would not conclude his term of office, that death would interrupt. There is very little else to report here in Washington, just the general reactions from... Oh, and a bulletin had just come in from Dallas. A sniper armed with a high-powered rifle, murdered President Kennedy today, according to the Associated Press Dispatch. Oh, here, barely 2 hours after Kennedy's death, Lyndon Johnson has taken the oath of office as the 37th President of the United States. So it is President Lyndon Baines Johnson, 55 years old, the new President of the United States. Now, back to New York.
There are details on the swearing-in of Lyndon B. Johnson as President of the United States. The oath was administered in Dallas at 1:38 Central Standard Time. That would be roughly an hour and 20 minutes ago by a federal district judge, Sarah T. Hughes. President Johnson took the oath aboard the presidential plane at Love Field in Dallas as he prepared to fly to Washington to take over the presidency. This is the oath that was administered to Mr. Johnson. I do solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States and will do the best of my ability to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. That is all we know about the swearing-in of Lyndon Johnson as the 36th President of the United States. Mr. Kennedy's predecessor, General Eisenhower, has issued this statement here in New York on the assassination of the President. Quote, I share the sense of shock and dismay that all Americans feel at the despicable act that resulted in the death of our nation's president. Mrs. Eisenhower and I also join with all other citizens in expressing our personal grief and prayerful concern to Mrs. Kennedy and all other members of the family. A statement issued on behalf of General Eisenhower here in New York this afternoon. Frank?
Well, the Moscow radio is playing funeral music after announcing the death of President Kennedy, and all diplomats in the Russian capital are described as being aghast. And the United States ambassador to Russia, Foedy Kohler, was told of the news, and his response was to say, "It's terrible, terrible." Moscow radio quoted reports, and this is Moscow radio now, assuming that extreme right-wing elements were believed responsible for the assassination. News of the president's death by a bullet in the head was immediately passed on to the top Soviet figures, this according to Russian sources. No reaction directly from the Kremlin was expected until tomorrow. Russian television broke into its late-night programming to announce the assassination, and the Soviet news agency TASS reported from New York here that, quote, "an attempt was made on his life by persons believed to be among extreme right-wing elements." Of course, later they were informed that the president was dead. A heart-clutching thought to think of those two children in the White House, the son and the young daughter. And we can only assume, of course, that they have been informed of their father's death. Regardless of what one may have thought about the Kennedys as a political institution in the United States, they were regarded by all as being terribly vivacious and vital people who were quite alive. The situation at the moment is that the President John F. Kennedy is dead. His body is believed to be en route, or shortly will be en route, back to Washington. It's expected to arrive from Dallas at Andrews Air Force Base outside Washington about 5:30 Eastern Standard Time today, which is about an hour and a half from now. The new president of the United States, Lyndon B. Johnson, has been sworn in by a federal judge in Dallas and is remaining for the moment in Dallas. The president's brother, the Senator Ted Kennedy, and a sister, the wife of Sergeant Shriver, are on their way to Otis Air Force Base in Massachusetts. The family, of course, comes from Boston, and it is assumed that they're going there to be with the parents of the president. The last word we had on Mrs. Kennedy was that she was at the hospital where the president died. She probably is not at the hospital now, but we do not know where she is. Her privacy is being respected as well as it should be under these circumstances. Mrs. Johnson is no doubt with the new President Johnson. And that is the situation that we have it at the moment. And do you have some more information, Bill?
Only, Frank, that there was word that Mrs. Kennedy had, in fact, left the hospital.
I see.
With the body of the president, presumably to go to Dallas's Love Field, from which place the body would be flown back to Washington for the state funeral, which will follow. Preparations for that, we understand, are already being tentatively made by military experts who would handle the affair. They are gathered at the White House.
Did we want to go to this
meeting? I believe so, Frank, yes.
We have prepared some material on some of the last appearances that President Kennedy was able to make. In what has proved to be his last formal speech, the late President John Fitzgerald Kennedy commented to a dinner in Houston, Texas last night.
Excuse me, Frank.
Yes.
Excuse me, Frank, but I'm told not ready.
All right. We'll,
I was handed it.
And we'll have it for you in a moment, then.
If I can, I will attempt a chronology of what happened today. The president was in Dallas on a five-city, two-day sweep of the state. He had his wife with him, her first act of campaigning, and it supposedly was to look forward to what she would be doing next year in his expected presidential campaign. The president had made at least one speech in Dallas, and was on his way to a trade center to make another when a sniper's bullet hit him in the head. It took 5 minutes for the motorcade to dissolve sufficiently so that the president could be driven to the hospital. He was driven to the Parkland Memorial Hospital in Dallas. When he was brought in, doctors said that his condition was moribund, that is, close to death, but he was unconscious. The wound, from the descriptions they have given, was massive, and apparently nothing that medical science could do could make any change in his condition. He died in approximately a half hour from the time he sustained the wound. The first word that came of the president's passing came from two Roman Catholic priests who had been summoned to the hospital to administer to him the last rites of the Roman Catholic Church. Riding in the car with the president, in addition to his wife, was Texas Governor John Connally and his wife. Neither of the ladies was injured, although Governor Connally did sustain, we are told, three wounds, one in the chest, one in the wrist, and an extremely minor one in the leg. He has undergone surgery, apparently for removal of the bullet which struck him in the chest. He is said to be in reasonably good condition, but there is the qualification left that he is not yet out of the woods. That is roughly what we know of what happened to Dana Dallas. There is no indication that the sniper or snipers has been found. One person has been taken into custody in the city of Dallas, but that is in connection with the killing of a Dallas policeman. Policemen and Secret Service agents who fanned out from the area where the attack on the president took place on a freeway have found a rifle, and now for a late report from Fort Worth, Dallas, we go to station WBAP-TV and newsman Charles Murphy.
Here now are late, unedited, unscreened films of the shooting scene in Dallas. This was a scene near the Stemmons Expressway. In front, no, this is in front of City Hall in downtown Dallas, a mile east of the shooting scene. Heavy crowds line the downtown streets to view the presidential party. As in all of the Texas stops, there were many teenagers affected there by First Lady and the President. This is Main Street in Dallas. Is this moving west? This is moving west toward the fatal moment. The motorcade is traveling at about 20 to 25 miles an hour, slowly westward down Main Street in the heart of Dallas. The time, about 12:20. During the noon hour, heavy crowds of downtown offices lining the roof. That looks like the school depository building on the right. I'm not sure. This is the scene of confusion. Something has happened here. The cameraman running toward the scene for the presidential car ahead of him. We caught just a blurred glance of the old school depository building from which the sniper fired the shot. This is the reaction from the crowd. All is confusion at the scene. Here a woman shelters herself. Now racing toward the hospital. On Stemmons Freeway, past the trademark to the right where the president was to have spoken, where he was to have criticized the fanatical right. There, okay. That is Parkland Hospital. A mile and a half to 2 miles from the shooting scene. Parkland Hospital, where the president died in Dallas. By the time these films were shot, of course, the presidential car was already at the hospital. This is Major General Clifton, the military aide of the president, press secretary going into the hospital. These pictures. This is General Clifton. This is the emergency room entrance of Parkland Hospital in Dallas. Later films, as they are developed, as they arrive here, will be shown. This is Charles Murphy reporting from WBAP-TV, Fort Worth, Dallas.